Okay, so we are actually in episode 3 of Radio Up Stress Management Edition. So for members who have not been with us for session 2 and session 1, we actually talked, we talked about stress. So the conversation first started with what kind of stress do we face in our daily lives, how do we deal with stress, how do we positively deal, how do we negatively deal, and from the first conversation we had, we realized that many of us are aware of what stresses us out. We know what things we should do when we're feeling stressed, but we don't always do those things, despite knowing what should be done. So we looked at some information that suggests that the first step to managing our stress is to know what we can control and know what we cannot control. So last week we had a group brainstorm together and we talked about the different sorts of things that we can control and those that we could not. Are there members who remember what types of things we said we could control?
Discipline.
Our discipline. So maybe you're saying the way, like our attitude towards something?
Financially, you have to learn how to survive 1 month with your check.
Yes, yes. So one example that was brought up was we can't control the price of food in the grocery store, but we can control where we shop and how we're spending our money. Some other things that were brought up was we can't control people's reactions. So Heidi, you'd given an example of being in conflict with people and how that can cause stress. Mm-hmm. And while we can control how we react, we can't control how others react. So this was generally the type of conversation we were having. And so we decided that we're going to look at some strategies to see, well, how can we take control of what we know we can control? So that brings us to today. And I'll ask a member to help me out. Help me out, please, by reading the slide. Is there a member who's up for that?
Which one? All of that?
Yeah, this page.
Dealing with stressful situations, the 4 A's, change the situation, avoid the stressor, alter the stressor, change your reaction, adapt the stressor, accept the stressor.
Thank you, Imad. So we're going to be working together for the next 4 weeks. And we're going to see how we can apply each of these in our lives. So for today, we're working on change the situation and avoid the stressor. So the first recommended strategy to taking control of our stress is to avoid the stressor. Is there someone else who would like to read? Lisa, please.
Since everyone has a unique response to stress, there is no one-size-fits-all solution to managing it. Experiment with different techniques and strategies. Focus on what makes you feel calm and in control.
Thank you, Lisa. Exactly. So as we go through these 4 types of strategies, we're going to see some work really well for us. You feel comfortable using them. And some you might say, that's not really for me. I prefer to do it this way. But the idea is that because we try more than one together, that you can then choose what you're comfortable with and apply it in your daily life. All right. So can I have someone read the title page here?
Stress management strategy, avoid unnecessary stress.
Yes. So do we have ideas about how we can avoid unnecessary stress? If you know something stresses you out, what can you do to avoid it?
Don't put yourself into contact with the people that traditionally cause you stress.
Excellent. Yes?
What's a stress?
What do you think a stress is?
Physical thing.
Could you tell me more? What do you mean?
Like if you do a lot of sport and eat a lot of food.
So you're saying putting like physical stress on your body?
Yeah.
I think that's one way.
I think it's anxiety also. A lot of anxiety that's in stress also.
Mm-hmm. And okay, when you say anxiety, could you say a bit more about what that feeling is like?
It's like stress. It comes from like inside within. Mm-hmm. And you feel nervous, you feel anxious, you feel you're not in control of a situation.
Yeah. Exactly, Lisa. So what I would have said, Emad, is kind of linked to what Lisa said, where stresses come from things that we feel we have no control over. Like it's a problem that we have to face that makes us feel a little bit off balance. And we discussed in the first session that that's actually a regular part of life, and there's good stress and there's bad stress, but we want to find a way to stay balanced with our stresses. So moving on, could somebody read this slide for us, please?
Not all stress can be avoided, and it's not healthy to avoid a situation that needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. You may be surprised, however, by the number of stressors in your life that you can eliminate. How?
Yes. So James began to say, actually, that we can avoid certain people that we know are going to cause us stress. And we actually have a few more things that we can do. So let's see. Can someone read these aloud for us, please?
Learn how to say no. Avoid people who stress you out. Take control of your environment. Avoid hot button topics. Pare down your to-do list.
Thank you, Heidi. So these are five ideas about how we can avoid stress. But I thought for us to be able to put it into practice that we should focus on one. So I went ahead with learn how to say no, because it came up with the conflict in relationships. And it comes up in smaller events of our daily lives. So does anybody know what kind of skill it takes to say no to somebody?
It takes courage.
Definitely takes courage, yes.
Because you might offend the other person.
Yes.
Because they expect you to say yes.
Heidi, you are hitting the nail on the head. It takes courage. It's not always comfortable to say no to someone, especially when it's someone we like and someone we see as important to us. I'm thinking of a communication skill when we learn to say no. Any ideas? Starts with the letter A. So first I'll ask you, what is the difference between passive, aggressive, and assertive? Or if you know, do you know? Catherine?
Assertive.
The answer is assertive, 200 points. Being able to say no to people involves the skill of assertiveness. Passive, aggressive, and assertive are styles of communication. Does anybody know what a passive style of communication is? Or wants to give an example, maybe?
It makes me think of saying always yes to everything. Yes, okay, no problem, yes. All right, I'll do it. You're being passive. You're not really saying what you really want to say.
Yes, Lisa, that is exactly right. Does someone want to give an attempt at aggressive?
Violent.
It could be violent. Is there anyone else who wants to give a suggestion?
It makes me think of being verbally aggressive. You don't have to be, like, verbally aggressive to get your point through.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so in these next couple slides, we're going to see a clearer definition of what each of these mean. Would you like me to read, or is there someone who wants to read?
In passive communication, you may not express your opinion, feelings, and needs. You may be uncomfortable speaking your mind, especially when you are with people you see as important. Mm-hmm. When you are passive, you don't take part in decisions that affect you, or you don't take a stand on issues that are important to you. Being passive can make you feel like you have no control over a situation. Feeling a lack of control leads to stress.
Thank you, Catherine. So this is pretty much what Lisa was telling us, that you might go along with whatever's said, you say yeah, you say okay, you're not really taking part in the decisions that affect you. Okay, and then we have aggressive communication. Is there someone who wants to read this one?
Oh, I'll try.
Yes, sir.
In aggressive communication, you honestly state your opinions, feelings, and needs, but you do it at the expense of others. Mm-hmm. You may be seen as rude or demanding, mm-hmm. and being aggressive often offends others. their negative reaction can lead to stress for everyone.
Thank you, James. When I was like younger, learning what aggressive communication was, I kind of thought of like the bully, like someone who's like, rah, rah, this is what I want, which is not really what we're aiming to be. So this brings me to the question, what is a happy medium? And Catherine, you said it before.
Assertiveness.
Excellent. And so last but not least, the definition of assertive.
In assertive communications, you state your opinions, feelings, needs, and needs openly. You do this in a respectful, tactful, and thoughtful way. In most cases, being assertive works better than being passive or aggressive.
So, like Catherine said, you state your opinions, feelings, and needs openly, and you do it in a respectful, tactful, and thoughtful way. And in most cases, being assertive works better than being passive or aggressive. Okay, so here I've got a cool video that kind of explains how we use assertive communication. So I'll ask us to drink in as much as we can of this video. Gotta check this volume out again.
Let's talk about assertion. For all the things that are said about being assertive in terms of tone of voice and body language, I think it all starts in your head. You've got to get your head right first. And ask yourself, what do I want to achieve in what I'm going to say, in the situation I'm going into? And what sort of words am I going to use to say it? The body is pretty much a servo mechanism that follows what your head tells you to do. So you need to be thinking, why am I doing this? What do I want to achieve? So getting your head right is about recognizing what you want, but also recognizing that the other person has a point of view and a right to have and to express that point of view. So there needs to be a balance about what you want and recognizing the other person as well. Because assertion is not about overriding the other people. It's not about being dominant. It's not about getting your own way. It's about expressing your own point of view and feeling comfortable that you've said what needs saying. So we think then about the words that we might use. Classically, we talk about I language. That's letter I. I need, I want, I believe, from my point of view, as I see things. And this is not about being arrogant. It's not an arrogant I. It's simply an ownership I. It's the I that says, I own these thoughts, they're mine. You may disagree. This is what I believe. This is what I need. Along with that then goes the posture and the tone of voice. The posture needs to be one where you're being assertive, where you do have some ability to gain eye contact with the other person, and your posture is reflecting a degree of energy. The energy has to be there in the voice as well. Again, this comes from the mindset, comes from feeling confident and comfortable that I know what I need, I know what I'm going to say, and that leads us to then the thought of rehearsal. Quite often the words won't come out right first time, and there's no way you can take words back after they've come out of your mouth. The way to get around that is to play the words through in your head, maybe with a colleague or on your own, just getting a feel for the flow of the words, the sense that you want to make at the point that's in your head. In rehearsal too, you might think through a couple of transactions there, because you'll get a response. And one of the things that's good about people you know is that they are predictable. So you'll say something and you'll think, oh, I knew they'd say that. Okay, if you know they'll say it, then try thinking about the response you'll make. Allow them to say what they want to say. Acknowledge it. I understand. And then repeat your point of view. Don't get into the yes, but thing. Very easily, your first assertive phrase might turn into an argument when they make their response and you go, yes, but, and then you get yes, but, no, but, and that doesn't help anyone. So, our top tips in being assertive. First, be clear about what you're trying to achieve. Get your mindset right and clarify your objective. Second, think to use I language. I need, I believe, I want, what's important to me, those sorts of phrases. Third, rehearse. Rehearse the way you'll open, the phrase that you'll use, the words that you'll use, and rehearse responding to the way you might predict the other person will react.
Okay, what kinds of things stood out to you in this video about how we can be assertive?
I think using I want this, I need this, I think you're gonna get a better result at the end. And also what stood out was, yeah, but. If you say yeah, but, it might end up as an argument.
Right. So. Yeah, you're exactly right, Lisa.
Starting the phrase by I do, I want, I own this. It reflects that you own your feelings.
Yes. Yes.
Which is assertive.
Yes. So I actually went ahead and took out some key points myself. So number one is that we listen. You listen to what this person is saying to you or asking of you. And you, number two, demonstrate that you understand. So you hear them. You show them that you understand. Step three, you say what you think and feel. So this is where your I language will come in. And step four, you say specifically what you want to happen. Now, you might have noticed at the end of the video, the gentleman says that it'll take rehearsal. It will take practice. So I had the idea that we might be able to rehearse some situations together this afternoon that are low stress, because if we first start with events that are low stress, well, then we can kind of build up the momentum. So when we are faced with a stressful event, well, you kind of think back to, all right, I dealt with a situation like this, and I've used this language before, and now I'm going to put it into practice. So are we okay with that? Are we up for a challenge?
I have a situation that I dealt with in an assertive way, and I felt very proud of myself. I have this acquaintance mm-hmm. that used to call me every night, and she really stressed me out. Mm-hmm. And after a while, I thought, this is not going to work. Mm-hmm. Then when she called next time, I said, I feel comfortable talking to you twice a week. I was very proud of myself that
Excellent.
I was able to do that.
Uh-huh. Excellent. So you showed her that you understood she wants to talk to you. And you told her, well, twice a week is what I'm comfortable with. So yeah, you definitely handled that assertively.
She used the I. Instead of, you're calling me too often. Instead of using you used I.
Yes, so exactly. Good. All right, so moving into our rehearsal, I would like to ask a member actually to write these steps up on the whiteboard, just so it's clear for everyone. Is there someone who's up for that? Right, James? And so I've recruited some volunteers for this week's session. We will have Novico, we will have Ruth, we will have Mark Anthony, and maybe even a member will decide that they're up for some role-playing also. So what's going to happen is each person that I just named will read out the scenario, and then they're actually going to say it to you as if it was a regular day, regular conversation, something that they said to you. And you are going to look up at the board or look at the PowerPoint and try to respond in an assertive way. And if you need some help, well, the rest of us are here to help you out. Does that sound okay? Mm-hmm. I trust that we can be assertive today. okay, I will let you take a look at your scenario. They're almost 100% things that I have heard before. I need one member who's up for reading one. So what's the first step?
Listen.
Second step?
Demonstrate you understand.
Step three?
Say what you think and feel.
Step four?
Say specifically what you want to happen.
And five?
There's the little star and it says sometimes work out joint solution.
Okay. All right, so we're gonna use these five steps to come up with assertive responses to our special guests today. Mark Anthony, you. All right, members, so we're gonna listen to his scenario and try to give an assertive response to it.
All right. So you arrive at Up House. Mark Anthony asks if you like to reserve your lunch because he is making vegetable mac and cheese and it will be very good. You do not like vegetables in general. How do you respond to Mark Anthony?
Which day?
Tuesdays or Thursdays?
Tuesday, I'm have mac and cheese.
It's an example.
Yes.
So what would you say to Mark Anthony if
thank you very much. Yeah, good food.
Okay.
That's good. But what if you did not like vegetables, yeah. Imad, and you don't want it? What would you say?
I like mac and cheese.
Okay, fine. You won't pretend with me?
Yeah, and if you want to add salad to it, it's even better.
Pick and separate the vegetables from the mac and cheese into piles.
So let's hear first how you listen to him and demonstrate that you understand.
I really like the mac and cheese.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
remember, the point is to not end up with the mac and cheese. You don't want it. So what can you do? What can you say?
Everybody likes mac and cheese.
You know what? This was designed specifically for Leslie, who didn't answer the phone. So I just want to hear an example of if you did not like the veggie mac and cheese.
Right.
What could you say if you did not like? Pretend you did not like it.
The cheese, okay, wasn't normal. It's the first time I tasted cheese like that.
From Mark Anthony? Because it's
vegetable.
It's vegetable.
Yeah. Oh. The cheese was some kind of. Do you know what the name of this mozzarella? It's not mozzarella. I don't know what kind of cheese. Kraft?
Okay, I'm shutting down the cheese conversation. I think I set up a bad meal. Everybody likes this meal. Miss Karen, could you demonstrate an assertive response?
Also, Mark Anthony, today you're making the mac and cheese with vegetables.
Yes, I am.
Is that what you mean? I prefer it without vegetables, so I'm going to pass on the meal today. But thank you for mentioning that you were making the mac and cheese. And hopefully tomorrow or Thursday, I'll have the meal.
All right. Yes.
I had something in mind. I'm going to try the mac and cheese vegetable, and I'll tell you about it later. And then afterwards, after that I ate it, I prefer the usual mac and cheese
with no vegetables.
Recipe, yeah.
Okay, so this kind of works because it's number 5. Oh. Sometimes working out a joint solution. So you're saying, I'll try it, but I'm going to let him know.
That's
I prefer the original recipe.
The original mac and cheese.
Okay, I think something I would have done is similar to what Karen described. I would have said, oh, you're making vegetable mac and cheese. Well, I don't really like vegetables, so I'm not going to have that today. Mm-hmm. Are you making spring rolls tomorrow? So, thank you, Mark Anthony. Nobuko,
yes.
You're up.
I'm up.
I will be your microphone.
That's not so fair, because my situation might be really tricky.
So we're going to listen to Nobuko's scenario and then think of a response we can give back to Nobuko.
Nobuko tells you she has a data entry task that she can use help with. You plan to spend the morning working in the kitchen. You are excited to cook today, but you do not want to let Nobuko down. What do you do?
What's the question?
You want to work in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Right? But I come up and say, Imad, I need some help.
But you don't want to do it, Imad. Everyone's so nice here.
Yeah.
You're allowed to speak up.
To make a combination of love.
So what could you say that combines both then? You want to work in the kitchen and she wants you to do data entry.
I'll take a break from the kitchen. Who doesn't?
Oh, can you say that in the mic? Can you say that again?
I take a break from the kitchen, do data entry, like what Nobuko wants, and then I go to the kitchen again.
Thank you.
Sure.
So you, like Lisa, you've offered a joint solution. So you want to be in the kitchen, but you say, all right, I'll take a break from the kitchen, help you out, and then I'll get back to the kitchen.
Sometimes there's something very urgent, very important. That's most of the time what I do with Nobuko.
Yes.
Something urgent, something very important. It can be left on the...
Yeah, so in the specific scenario where it's urgent, you're saying you might put aside your own need to help her out.
Because you're going to help her.
Yes.
Thank you.
Which would help mean, everybody.
Which would mean that there's only one person that could do the data entry. Maybe you could say, isn't there somebody else that would like to do it?
That's a good idea, Heidi. Yeah. Does anyone else have an example of what they would say to Nobuko?
I would say I signed up for cooking this morning, but I can be of help in the afternoon with data entry.
Excellent, Lisa. Mm-hmm. So you showed her, she's happy with that. You showed her that you heard her and you understand she needs help with data entry, but you signed up for kitchen, so you're going to work in the kitchen, and that's the plan.
Yeah, so, and at a later time, I can help you with data entry.
Yes. Great.
Okay, so Ruth tells you that a student is leaving Up House very soon and that members are working on a goodbye card for the departure, like we always do. You don't really care for that student.
Oh.
And they didn't impress you very much. What will you say to Ruth?
Can't tell Ruth that. She's going to kick us out. Most of the time, I agree.
No, you, but you can say no to her in an assertive way. And what if you didn't want to sign it? What will you say?
Why wouldn't I sign it?
What?
Oh boy! Oh, members, you're so so easy to please.
If Ruth didn't know that I would be able to sign it, then she wouldn't ask me, right?
But what if she doesn't know? What if she thinks, you know, she thinks you like the student and you don't
like,
mind?
How come Ruth knows me or not?
No, that's not what I'm saying. James, do you have any ideas about what you could say?
Sure, I could say I really appreciated her presence in the hall, and I'm looking forward to the next student.
Bye.
To the next student. So that's two-thirds of the way. You've shown you understood. You've said what you feel. But now you have to say the part where you don't want to sign. So how will you throw that part in?
Well, I don't want to sign.
Yeah, that's good. These are assertive responses. You can but don't do that for me, guys. Okay. So, wow. First of all, I must say that members, you're really, really, really nice people. You don't want to give assertive responses, but you can. Everyone was capable of putting it in an assertive way once I kind of gave you no choice. But the idea of rehearsing these kind of scenarios is that if we use them in low-stress environments, like talking to Nobuko or Ruth, who will not kick you out if you use an assertive response, then when we're really faced with something we truly, genuinely do not want to do, pretend it's Nobuko, and you channel that same type of response, and this will kind of build our ability to say no in situations that we don't want to. And the idea is it's going to help us learn how to avoid these situations that can then cause us stress. So I have one final question. I want to know, what kind of examples do you think you can use that are low stress to use your assertiveness? I can give an example to start. When you go to Subway, for example, and they put lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, and you didn't want pickles, you didn't mention pickles. I have some friends who would take the pickle sandwich anyway, but me, I would assert myself. I would say, oh, I didn't ask for pickles. Could you take them off, please? And I'm telling them what I want, and I'm doing it in a nice way, but it's also low stress. It's just a sandwich at the end of the day. So what are other examples like that?
I'll need some practice. I know it's the best form of answer, but I tend to be aggressive when I'm being stepped on. Mm-hmm. I tend to push back very much. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I know it's the best answer.
Right.
But it's not necessarily what I'm likely to do. I was running after a taxi and somebody cut me off. And I told him, I said, here's a dollar. Go buy yourself a new attitude. This one sucks.
So that's an aggressive response, right? Because it could offend someone. So I challenge you, Catherine, what could you have said instead?
Excuse me, that was mine.
Yeah, and they may still, you know, take off in your taxi, but you gave the assertive response.
Yes.
Any other ideas, folks? Well, my challenge to all of you is here at Up House, where again, you will not be kicked out for using assertiveness. Maybe we can practice on a day-to-day, just with like a task, for example, like Novico described, or even if it's me asking you to do something, you can say, well, Jade, I prefer to do this right now, and I will be understanding.
I have an example.
Oh, yes.
Like if a friend asks me to go out to dinner and I really don't feel like going, I would tell her, is it okay if we go out for dinner another time because I'm not feeling too well today?
Yes, these are exactly the types of opportunities that I'm talking about. All right, folks, that is all for me today. Next week, we will be looking at how to adapt to a stressor. So today was avoiding a stressor, and next week we'll be adapting a stressor.
Hi, this is Amy, and you're listening to Radio Up at www.radio-up.org. Stay tuned for some really great times.